out the front door into darkness, colder than she expects. She wraps the blanket tighter around Amy, keeps her warm. A streetlight glows fog from the opposite side of the street, and in the distance is a car, another car, rolling towards early morning shift work. Down the front steps, flowers graze her calves, and she is at the gas meter in the front yard, the small ticking like night crickets hiding in grass. Letterboxes rise like field mushrooms, grey in the streetlight. Up above, powerful owl sound, the skitch of a possum running overhead on the electric wire. A goat hangs from the Burgess's porch, night dew fur, swings in time with tree movement. The smell of the goat. The last hunt was 2 days ago. There is no disguising death. It sticks to skin, sticks to clothing, sticks to memory. Often you have to look past it to keep going on with life, on with the day. She sniffs her skin, her jumper, hopes the winter air will take away the smell. Eleanor carries her daughter to the midnight blue 1968 Belmont station wagon, filled with a few of their belongings, the emergency items they will need for their journey, straps Amy into the back seat. "I'm just going to do one last thing." She kisses her daughter, goes back into the house. Inside, she leans against the closed bedroom door, uses wood for a spine, listens. She opens the door, holds her breath, and he's limbed out like a tree, the giant way he takes up space. I just need to make sure he's not awake. Everything is quiet, and her heart races to her throat. "Eleanor, leave. It's time to leave. He will wake any minute." She closes the door and rushes to the kitchen, snatches the black box off the counter, runs out of the house to her daughter. Automatic pulses push Eleanor through Wintonvale streets, car tires smooth on tar. Ahead of her, a crow scamps around the base of a tree and wind sweeps through feathers. The Black Sea. Eleanor and her birds makes her smile. Wind swims hair, messes into face and eyes. She smooths her hair away so she can see, winds the window up, blasts the car with heat. It's always so cold everywhere. Eleanor reaches over the driver's seat to Amy, palms her daughter's pudgy legs. "Are you ready for a long drive, bub?" The journey to the Blue Mountain will take a while. Outside the car, houses beam light, people fetch newspapers from yards, burrow down into neighbour talk. Inside the car, a small piece of lapis on a thin strip of leather swings from the rearview mirror. Kitty had given it to Eleanor, an unexpected gift she's never been able to bring herself to get rid of. "Eleanor, tell your daughter a story to keep yourself awake." And an eye on lapis, she does, says, "Did you know the sky is blue, but once, a long time ago, humans didn't have a word for such a colour? Blue isn't as common in nature as you would think. In old books, the sky is described as apocalyptic blazes of purple, something to fear. Those people didn't realise how many ways a human eye could detect shades of blue, and so they didn't always know what colour they were looking at. Isn't that amazing, Amy?" The idea of it makes Eleanor cry. "Stop it. Amy, wouldn't it be wonderful to see something that's rarer than blue?" And she watches the lapis swing, thinks of the Blue Mountain, her favourite place. "We're going somewhere we will be safe. We never have to come back here." Her foot on the accelerator takes them out of Wintonvale, takes them towards the highway to the mountain. She eyes the rearview mirror, keeps a lookout for headlights, keeps a lookout for him.